Great to have everyone here today. Some visitors with us. Appreciate you coming, and glad to be able to share a message from God's Word. Tonight we're talking about Barnabas, and as we've looked at different individuals so far, some of God's leaders. We looked at King Saul and how he was not that great of a leader. How he was not so well. And if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, that's where our lesson will come from today. But King Saul didn't do so well, but we talked about Jesus, and I'm glad Gary, I keep wanting to say Jerry, because I got Uncle Jerry. But Gary led that song, and when we talk about Jesus, and we talk about his nature, you know, he had the ability to do what he wanted to do as far as he was God. He had the power. And I don't know that, I was sitting there thinking, you know, how many times in our life have we gotten angry and mad at somebody like King Saul, who was avenging his enemies at one point? I'm going to avenge my enemies. Did we just call down and strike someone down if we had the power to? We might do that, mightn't we? Sometimes people get on us, and you know what happened to Jesus there? He was spit on. The song talks about that, and how they led him through the street. All the bad things that happened. If that happened to one of us, the world wouldn't be like it is today, would it? We might lash out and use that power to avenge ourselves, right? But that wasn't Jesus. We see, first of all, he didn't come to judge. He came to save and seek and save the lost. And he come as God, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what was his nature? A servant. He served, and that was his nature. And that is really a theme in part with our meeting this week. And it's going to continue really with our talking about Barnabas. I was right on cue till that one. When we talk about Barnabas was a servant. And we're going to see, I hope to show, and maybe these lessons remind you of studies that you personally have done. And maybe bring the material together in a way that maybe you haven't thought of before, or reinforce good things. And that is of encouragement. And Barnabas is known as Barnabas the Encourager. And we're going to continue talking about, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about another servant. Be Ruth from the Old Testament. I encourage you to be here for that. It's a good study. I enjoy that study. I'm so glad to get to present these lessons. I really enjoy these lessons. For me, I looked in as a youth wanting to be the Simba, right? We talked about that. I can't wait to be king. I can't wait till I don't have to work for somebody. I'm my own boss, and Simba's song, I'm working on looking down, and I'm gonna be the main event. And in youth, we can have those ideals, but that's not what Jesus taught, was it? That's not what Jesus desires, and that's not what God desires. So Jesus in his kingdom looks for people, just as God and in the Old Testament looked for kings, not after man's standards, but after God's standards. And so we're going to look tonight at Barnabas. He is called Barnabas, the son of encouragement, and our reading would be Acts 4, starting in verse 31. Actually, we won't start in verse 31. Why not? We'll read Acts 4, start verse 31 through 37. And we'll introduce Barnabas here. As he's titled by Luke, and a name given actually by the apostles, is done at this occasion. So reading there in Acts 4, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they are assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither any of them lacked aught, because of those who had possessions was not their own, but they had sold them and had all things in common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to every man according to as he has need. And then verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we see Barnabas introduced as the one of the first non-apostles mentioned here is Barnabas, and he's called the son of encouragement and done so by the apostles. And so we're going to take a look at his works in Acts and see why he deserved that name, and because Luke does a good job of showing Barnabas at work. And he as Luke uses Barnabas or mentions or references Barnabas, this just comes out. This just oozes out of the text that this is Barnabas. And so as we paint this picture, as we're talking about a portrait of Barnabas, and we think about who he is in the Scriptures, consistently in Scripture, Barnabas is shown to be an encourager. And what a great attribute to have and to work towards. So as we look here, as the current text that we're in, he gave of himself. Barnabas, the encourager, gave of himself. That was who he was. He was a giver. Notice it says he had land and sold it. So he sacrificed, right? A servant who was sacrificing. So he sold and contributed to the Christians there so that they could have what they had need of. And you know, it's not a mistake that our reputation in the world is perceived to be good if we're generous. Is that not right? When people look at us, they see us being a giving people, a caring people, stopping help with giving of our time, helping somebody that's on the roadside, or our neighbors even. But it don't have to be possessions. It don't have to be physical, something monetary even. But just being giving, doesn't that just, it is an attribute that people respect in the world. And it seems that they'll open their mind up and listen to us. That if we care enough to help others, they trust us. And Barnabas was that kind of person. He was trustworthy in that regard. He gave of himself. He was willing to sacrifice of himself. As we continue to look in Acts chapter 9, he advocates for King Saul. I got King Saul on my mind. It's not King Saul. It's the Saul of Tarsus. It's the other Saul. So in Acts chapter 9, here, Saul of Tarsus is now trying to join the church in Jerusalem many years after his conversion. He's worked in Damascus. We find that out timeline-wise in Galatians. Paul shows us that. But here in Acts chapter 9, he has done work for a few years and he comes to Jerusalem. So let's stop. Let's read this about Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, he says there, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and how he had spoken of him, how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord. And he was with him coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. When the brethren knew this, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Barnabas advocates for him. You got to think about this. So here's the apostles in Jerusalem, and here Saul comes up, and Barnabas is not an apostle. So as far as hierarchy go, if you want to give a hierarchy, here's the apostles are somewhat of status, right? Barnabas says, "Say, apostles, no, wait, he is a convert. Look what he's done." You think Barnabas might have put his name on the line by doing that? He'd put his reputation on the line by vouching for Saul of Tarsus? Sure he did. Well, maybe in some ways, but he knew who Paul was. He knew where Saul was. He knew Saul had changed, so he really wasn't risking anything for himself. But really, he advocated for Paul or Saul before the apostles. He says, look, he has been converted. Look at the work he's done. This is what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He's converted. He's changed. Barnabas stood up for him. Barnabas advocated for him. A great attribute. An encourager. An encourager. It encouraged Paul in the work, encouraged him there in Jerusalem. So, in a way, he risked his reputation and bringing and advocating for Saul and the church to the apostles there. And so if we continue on in Acts chapter 11, notice what happens here. Is Barnabas is sent to help the church in Antioch. In Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19, another reference here as Barnabas continues to be noted in the book of Acts. Luke records in verse 19 of Acts 11, when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them, which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Okay? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and great number believed and turned to the Lord. And then verse 22, the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Jerusalem heard about, hey, great things are happening in Antioch. Who do they choose to send? Barnabas. Is there likely a reason? Because they knew Barnabas' work. There's probably a lot of people they could have sent, but they sent Barnabas. Barnabas the encourager. And notice it says there, as we talk about that, in verse 23, that he said, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all. That's Barnabas, that's encouragement, exhort. That's the same word or same root word anyways as Barnabas, the son of consolation. Barnabas the encourager, that's the same Greek word. And that's just encourager, to implore, to impeach, to beg even someone, and to lift others up. Just like he advocated for Saul of Tarsus. He lifted him up in Jerusalem. He lifted them up as well. He exhorted them all that they should cleave to the Lord. What a great attribute Barnabas had there. He's at work. And notice what it says about Barnabas. Now, he adds some attributes here that besides the fact we know he's an encourager, as the apostles even called him early on. Now, but notice what he was said here in verse 24. He was a good man. Now, and what would be behind that? I kind of think in that regard of being benevolent or generous with his possessions or with his time, to be good in that regard. And then he is also full of the Spirit. And I don't know that that's necessarily full of the Holy Spirit, but he is a spiritual man. He is full of the fruit of the Spirit. He is a godly person. He is living a righteous life. Not necessarily full of the Holy Spirit, though it could be that, but he's also full of faith. Barnabas was full of faith. And so we see here in this man, not only that his works did good for God, he showed God at work in his life. And no doubt, when people saw Barnabas, when they saw these things again, you become trustworthy, don't you? Hey, this guy is benevolent, he's generous, he's good. He's full of the Spirit. He's a spiritual person. He's got these great attributes. Meekness, we talked about meekness, humility, forbearance and submission, those type of attributes. They saw those in Barnabas. And with the world and other people, they will show us trustworthy. They can trust us and will listen even more so to us. And full of faith. Full of faith. Those all were attributes that helped Barnabas in his work. And so we see him serving by leaving Jerusalem and going to Antioch here. So he left his home, or left where he was at. Actually, his home, he's from Cyprus. So he's working in Jerusalem, and then he goes to Antioch. And so we see there within that the qualities of a servant. But he continues on. He's not done working. He's not done helping. We see as we continue in the same reading here, he advocates for Saul again in a little bit different way, but he advocates for Saul. So looking here at verse 25 and 26, as he continues, Luke continues writing, and so verse 25, then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. So wait a minute. So think about this. Barnabas is here working. He's making progress. He's helping teach the gospel. He leaves town. You ever get in the middle of a project and think, I can't leave this? I got too much going on? That happens, right? Barnabas left, but for good reason, right? Where was Saul? Saul went home. Now, what was he doing at home? Should we read something into that? Saul of Tarsus was at Tarsus. So Barnabas goes and finds Saul. When he does that, verse 26, when he finds him, he brings him to Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year. They assembled there with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Barnabas takes time to go find Saul, brings him in so he can help with the work. And they stay there the whole year. So again, that's an advocacy. He's advocating for him. He goes, he puts Saul to work, he finds, and for whatever reason, The scripture doesn't say he sees or knows that Saul is valuable to him there, can help him there, or that he can help Saul by Saul working there. Whatever may be going on, and the Spirit may have sent him, whatever happened, the result was he's advocating for Saul. The result is he is encouraging workers in the kingdom. This Saul of Tarsus, who's been converted, who went home. Barnabas goes and grabs him, takes him from home, his home city, and puts him to work. What a great thing to do, isn't it? Put Saul of Tarsus to work. Makes you wonder how much of an influence did Barnabas truly have on Saul, or Paul, the future apostle Paul, as he takes the name later. How much influence did Barnabas truly have on his own development and growth in the kingdom? Bible doesn't say, but no doubt he had an influence. Luke records that for us. We go on. His advocacy is not working. See, and this shows it's just, this is who Barnabas was. These weren't a one-off. These weren't accidents. This was who Barnabas truly was. Barnabas cared about people. Barnabas loved people. He loved the kingdom. He loved Christians. He loved working for the Lord. Why? Because he continues doing the same things over and over again. It's who he is. It's not a facade for him. Notice in Acts 15, in verse 35. Another example of Barnabas advocating for one. Now this time he's advocating for John Mark. We're all familiar with this, but so reading in Acts 15, starting in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas continued to Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul came unto Barnabas and said, "Let us go again to visit our brothers in the city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas had determined to take with him John Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take them, because he departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And so we see here Barnabas and Paul have a conflict now. It is Paul, notice now, and John Mark had failed the journey, and he had left the journey, and when we think about traveling today, we load our vans and cars up and take all that we need with us, and you know, remember when we had babies, we carried like everything except the kitchen sink with us, didn't we? You had to have everything. You never know who's going to get sick and what they might need and how many changes of diapers and clothes because they messed their clothes up, and somebody had to help them through, and these people that Paul took with him had purpose. John Mark turned away. And Paul remembered that. He says, "Look, I can't count on John Mark." And Barnabas says, "No, John Mark's good. Let's take John Mark." Now, in all fairness, there was a family relationship here. Barnabas and John Mark are related. And I'm trying to remember exactly how they was related offhand. It seemed like there was uncles or cousins, uncle, nephew, or cousins. That's in my notes. I don't have... Yes. Colossians 4. Marcus. His sisters. Oh, well, I get into genealogy. I get confused here. Marcus' sister's son to Barnabas. So reading that backward, that's Colossians 4:10. That makes Barnabas... I think it's a nephew. Don't give me... they're related. Just trust me. Is that right, nephew? No. Barnabas is the uncle. Yeah, uncle and a nephew. Yeah, okay. So genealogy is in English. I start talking about English language. Be careful. Watch out. I'm off my. But so they are related. But wouldn't you, your son or a relative, you would vouch for them, wouldn't you? Well, that's some of what Barnabas has going on here. Look, John Mark's a good guy, Paul. Let's take him. Let's encourage him in the kingdom. I mean, if it was me, I'd say, "Paul, don't you remember what happened in Acts? Remember when we was before the apostles? This is a good thing. Listen to me. I want to help this guy. I helped you." You didn't hear Barnabas saying those kind of things? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the reality is Barnabas was an advocate. He'd advocated for John Mark to put him to the work. John Mark proved worthy. Even later, Paul said, He admitted that John Mark was a value to him. And so we see that Paul recognized that later in 2 Timothy 4:11. Mark was profitable to Paul. And so we see Barnabas again, though, advocating for one who needed advocacy. And this is an interesting event. I admit here, as Luke records it. But the reality is, focusing on what John or what Barnabas did, he encouraged John Mark, and certainly he was put to use in the kingdom. And so, as we look at that, can we do these things? Oh, yes, we can, can't we? These are not really hard. Actually, these are very admirable things. Oftentimes in my own life as I preach, sometimes we forget even from preaching, this is the first thing, well, second thing Timothy was commanded to do. If you go to 2 Timothy 4 and look at that list, so it's got reprove, rebuke, but we don't start there when we teach, do we? Exhort, that's our word, with all long-suffering and patience. So if you reverse those, because I put them in, I think Paul put them in descending order, patiently teach and encourage. That's our Barnabas. We can do that too. I would even say we're commanded to do that, aren't we? Timothy was commanded. As a preacher, Timothy was commanded. That's an incredibly important tool, whether we're teaching our children, whether we're helping encourage other workers in the kingdom, and we'll talk about that. How can we be this Barnabas? And so let's think, first of all, what did he do? He sacrificed of himself. This idea of benevolence, generosity, being helpful, being able to assist somebody, giving up even your time. The time is pretty valuable. I remember when I had a secular job, it seemed like I never had enough time. I even got to the point we were very money conscious. And I finally got to the point in life I had more money than I had time, and I didn't have very much money. But, you know, When you got, sometimes time is valuable, but when you give that, people see it. And I guess some ways, and a friend told me about this, and we have preachers here that work and do evangelism work. The idea of friendship evangelism, the idea that the people we're interacting with, they look at us as people that they love us, that the brotherly love that exists there. They open their mind and they'll listen. Now, they may not believe, but they'll at least listen. And it was amazing. There's some friends we have back in Idaho still that we can talk to, and we can talk to them very specifically about things. And look, this is not the way that is. We haven't convinced them yet. But all we can do is plant the seed. But that opens doors. That opens doors to listen to us. And Barnabas was that. He was generous. He was, in his case, it showed generous of his property. We see he was obviously, I would say, generous of his time as we looked at the work that he did. And so we see just giving of ourselves, sacrificing of ourselves, whether it's time or property, material things, either way. Barnabas has the qualities of a servant. When we talked about meekness and humility and forbearance, to be enduring wrong, when we talked about forbearance and being able to submit to others, those terms and those attributes that are hard to do, really. But those are important. In this case, actually, the text talks about benevolent, being good. I'm using the word benevolent, but being a good person, as we read, being full of the Spirit, and in our case, being full of the fruit of the Spirit, living that godly life, going and putting on those godly virtues, and being full of faith. Those are all attributes that we can have, and that helps us to be a Barnabas. Advocating for others, just standing up for your fellow man, your fellow Christian, your fellow brother, advocate for them and support them in what they're doing. That's what Barnabas did. He advocated for Paul or Saul in front of the apostles in Jerusalem, and he advocated for John Mark in front of Paul. Just advocating. We can do that. We can do those things. And then also, Barnabas developed and employed others in his work, right? He went and he looked for Saul. He went to Saul's home. Saul had gone. It's kind of like Peter at the end of John, as Jesus has resurrected and the apostles are kind of sitting around twiddling their thumb thinking, what's next? Remember Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm like, well, that's interesting. Just going to go fishing. The kingdom's about upon us, and Peter's going fishing. You know, and they didn't understand, right? But Saul went home. He was in Tarsus. Now, I mean, I can't say a lot about that because we don't know what he did when he went to Tarsus, but that's where he was. John Mark, he brought John Mark out of the shadows. He looked, Paul's, you know, he's turned you down, looking away, but I'm going to try and help you, basically. And I'm putting a lot of words into that, obviously, but he helped encourage and develop John Mark. Both of these men were incredibly important in the kingdom. How much of that was because of Barnabas' influence? And we don't know those things, but we sure paint that picture, can't we? We can see that. We can see that Barnabas was very influential in these two men who eventually were very active in the kingdom. And notice, too, that reality is God does not look at his workers like we look at it, just like in the kings of Israel. When Israel or when a nation looks to a king, they want a strong and mighty man. What did God want? I think what it boiled down to, God wanted somebody to listen to him. Remember, King Saul was not that great of a king. He didn't listen, did he? We're going to get to King David. I love the comparison and the contrast between King Saul and David because, I mean, Saul didn't take another man's wife. You know, Saul didn't kill this other wife, her husband. Now, he didn't get her pregnant. Saul didn't do none of those things. But Saul also was, you know, David did all. But David was justified, right? So, but why? Because David's heart was different. Yeah, he done wrong, and we're all going to do wrong. So God doesn't look at the things like man looks at. We may want someone who's great orator and so certain attributes that the world looks at. Well, Paul was not. We wouldn't have picked Paul out of a lineup to serve Jesus, would we? Would we pick Paul out? He's out there dragging Christians off to be punished and killed. Even he's not going to. That's not. And so when we're thinking about this, sometimes we might look at ourselves. Well, I'm not worthy. Or I'm not capable. I'm not the right person. And that, you know, I think we're going to talk about that. Everybody doesn't have all the attributes, but God doesn't look at the outward appearance. They don't look how great we are. John Mark wasn't devoted, but he changed. He changed. He got to work. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, fishermen. Everybody wants fishermen in the top management, right? Let's go out and start interviewing people for the top positions at Berkshire Hathaway. That company's over here. We're going to interview somebody, take over. Whatever his name is. I forgot his name. The big rich guy. We're going to start, first attribute we're looking for, we want a fisherman. No. Jesus did. Now, you know, fishermen, tax collectors. Matthew, he was included in that. Luke was a doctor, a physician. Matthew, the tax collector. Oops. None of these guys. We wouldn't put any of these people in charge of our kingdom. But Jesus come and set up his kingdom, and he did exactly that. These are the people that Jesus used to spread his kingdom and to evangelize the world. Why would we choose them? We would we? But God did. But God did. And they fulfilled their work. I guess I should be careful because Luke actually wasn't necessarily chosen specifically by Jesus because he's not an apostle in here, and John Mark wasn't an apostle either. But the reality is these old men were servants in the kingdom, just like Barnabas was. Servants in the kingdom. Someone who would listen to and follow instructions, basically. Someone who would follow God and have a love and passion for God. We do all have a purpose and ability. And, we look at the parable of talents, right? That's what that teaches. We're not all the five talent. We're not all one talent, you know. And sometimes a one talent man might be able to accomplish things that a five talent man may not be. We're just not all the same. We're not going to be. That's one of the great beauties of God's creation. We're not all the same. We're not all, we sure don't want a room full of Rosses. We're all like me. The world would be miserable. It'd be a horrible place. We're all different. That's one of the things that makes the world go round. We all have different abilities. And the early church struggled with that. We could go read 1 Corinthians 12, and I encourage you to do that. As they talked about their various gifts in the church that looked for superiority and preeminence, everybody's got a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. And so, but we have a purpose, and we can work in the kingdom. We can encourage, and some other places. Even, we worry a lot about women's role. We're going to talk about Ruth tomorrow night. There's great roles, and we're going to tie in a few examples of women workers in the kingdom. There's a place for everybody, even all Christians. And we look at Ephesians 4, and I'll just flip through this. There's a list of offices, if you call it, in Ephesians 4 for the church. The idea is, as you go through there and look at Ephesians 4, and there's a few offices there. And so there's results that come from those. And then my intention is not to labor on that slide at this moment, but that is found there. So advocate for others. We can do so by helping developing just fellow workers, just anybody, other Christians. Help them to encourage them in what they do. And even if, and sometimes pride gets in our way, and somebody might be a little better than us, and that's great, that's wonderful. I'm glad Gary, his great job leading singing, better than I could ever do, and that's great, and that's wonderful. You're great. Keep on. Oh man, Anthony, Tony, you know, done a great job leading. Tony can pick up a songbook and almost, I think he can read from sight. Actually, he can sing from sight. Great. I can't do that. I might be able to practice and learn it, but that's great and wonderful. That's okay. Encourage that. That's great. And the same with teachers. Teachers need encouragement and development. Maybe you're one of those that can teach and you've just not tried that yet. And we can encourage people to do those things. And even just participation. Someone to lead a prayer. Someone to that even comes up can help serve the table. Someone who can just do a scripture reading. All those things encourage allowing people to be active and participate. Right? Even elders. I'm sure the elders would say that they even need encouragement. Right? Encourage them. Encourage them. We can do that. We can do that. Sometimes I feel like in churches that we spend a lot of time tearing other people down. And that's the opposite of what this is. Barnabas was an encourager. We don't have to tear people down. We don't have to destroy people. Sacrificing and the idea of these attributes we talked about last night as we serve, just some of them I threw together that I thought were key to being a servant, which really most all of those are really summed up in that first one of being meek. Are you a Barnabas? Can you be a Barnabas? Do you want to be a Barnabas? All those are great things. Whatever your lot in life is, whatever abilities you have, develop them. Maybe you're a one talent man today, but you can be a five talent man tomorrow. We're not all, you know, my journey to the preaching world has been long. I was asked today if I worked hard today, and I'm reminded, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I haven't worked in about 4 years, guys. Sorry. You want to ask more of me than that. I haven't worked a day in the last 4 years. I love this. I love getting to preach and teach and talk to people and show and teach God's message, because you probably don't know this. I learn more about this than y'all do. I guarantee you. I learn more than y'all do. It's been a journey. It's been a great journey, and you can get there too. I started out helping small congregations that couldn't afford preachers. And that's all I did. And I can't believe that they, looking back, that they even let me continue, but they did. It just takes time. Somebody was a Barnabas to me that helped me. And those churches did that by helping. And you do that for me being here. The fact that I can be here, that encourages me in my work, get to spend time with the elders here and talk to them about their work and other, we're going to get to spend time with other and get to meet you and enjoy your company and learn about each other and be the brotherly love that exists is an encouragement. And that's great. And if that's what you can do, it's great. Keep at it. Keep at it. Be a Barnabas. Encourage one another. And by all means, and I wish I could get to some people in our brotherhood is to stop tearing each other down. It seems like we have so many people in the brotherhood that just want to tear others down. From that perspective, we got to stop that. But encourage one another. Encourage yourself to do what you can. Are you a Christian? We don't encourage you not to do that. Follow Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven, washed away, never to be remembered. Those sins will never be remembered again. And that's a great, wonderful first step. If you've begun that and you struggle along the way and stumble along the way, we want you to come. And if you feel like you need the prayers of saints, you can let us know that tonight as well. So if you're subject to our gospel's call, won't you come while we stand and sing a song of encouragement?